This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Dukes and Bell. We wanted to get a guy on to talk some college football and knows his stuff. He is, of course, a reporter for Fox Sports, FS1, a writer for The Athletic as well. If you don't follow him on Twitter, do so. Bruce Feldman joining us. It's Bruce Feldman, CFB. And Bruce, let's start with the news of Kyler Murray, because Mike and I started the show talking about this, and a lot of people are going, oh, the kid's making the wrong decision. First and foremost, we don't even know where he is projected, or do we? Is this a top 10 pick in this year's draft?
That would surprise me if he went that high. Obviously, a lot of people are reacting to a video from a couple of months ago of Cliff Kingsbury, the new Cardinals coach, talking about him if he had the first round pick, the first overall pick. I mean, he thought that scenario would play out that way. But let's keep in mind that sometimes coaches, college coaches, say a lot of hyperbole when they're about to face somebody. It's a lot different than the place that just hired them, investing a fortune in a guy like that and putting a precious number one overall pick on Kyler Murray. I think I could see somebody drafting him somewhere in the first round. The part that would surprise me is if he went with the first overall pick. Yes, he followed up Baker Mayfield in that Lincoln Riley system. But I think that as talented as he is, as talented as Murray is, there's a couple of things that I think need to be pointed out. One, unlike Baker Mayfield, he only really played one season. We don't have a huge amount of, huge body of work here, whereas Baker Mayfield played three seasons, at least, in the Big 12 at Oklahoma and even at Texas Tech, whereas Murray played just a little bit at A&M and then a little bit as a backup before breaking out this year. The other thing is, and people are talking about how, you don't need to be 6'3 or 6'4 to be an NFL quarterback anymore, and certainly Mayfield went first overall, proved that. But the difference between Mayfield, and I would say also put Russell Wilson in this, is you had guys who are thick, almost built like running backs, especially Russell Wilson, whereas Kyler Murray's not only short, but he's also small, and I think there's probably will be some concerns about his durability at maybe 5'9.5", 5'10", maybe 185, 190 pounds. I mean, he's not as big a guy, and so I think I'll be surprised if he goes number one overall. I think that he's intriguing, but again, to me, I would look at a guy like Dwayne Haskins, who has a big arm, 6'3", 225, hasn't also played a ton,
right,
but is much bigger in stature, and I think looks like what you're expecting, a first overall, a top five quarterback prospect to look like.
It's Bruce Feldman with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. I mean, Drew Locke has got all the prototypical size and arm strength you want, but he's never really won anything impressive for Missouri. So getting back to Kyler Murray, does he go to he's going to have to wow some general managers at the combine?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would even not just be at the combine. I think it would be in the interview process and feel like, okay, this is the guy we believe can be a franchise-changing quarterback. Because that's what you're talking about if you're taking a guy in the top five. It's one thing to take somebody late in the first round. It's another thing to really, invest that way as opposed to trading out that pick. I mean, Drew Locke put up big numbers. It's worth noting that he played in a bunch of different systems. I mean, he's a really good all-around athlete. I think people maybe don't realize that this was a high-level Division I basketball recruit as well. To me, Haskins is clearly the top guy. His arm is terrific. He anticipates well, makes every kind of throw. He hasn't played as much as Drew Locke, but I think he would be a very desirable pick if a team is looking for a quarterback. After that, I feel like it's a lot more of a crapshoot, whether it's Drew Locke or a guy like Jarrett Stidham, who's talented but played in a sputtering offense at Auburn. Will Greer, who I think is good. I'm not sure if anyone looks at him as a great first-round talent. And then obviously, you'd put Kyler Murray in there, who's kind of a more of a wild card because of his physical size and also because of the baseball part of it with him with that contract with the A's.
Bruce, a couple of weeks ago, I read a tweet from Tate Martell, formerly of Ohio State that read, it was one of those subtweets, Bruce. You know what I'm talking about. It said something to the effect of, don't swing and miss, especially your second time around. And everybody down here in Georgia went, oh, he's talking about Justin. And now Justin's on his way to Ohio State. Tate Martell now is in the portal. What do you make of this story today? Because for us, we said Justin Fields doesn't go to Ohio State without reassurances that he's going to play.
Yeah, look, I think one thing is a little subplot into that is Justin Fields, one of the private quarterback coaches he worked with this offseason was Quincy Avery, who's an Atlantic guy, who also had Deshaun Watson in that group, and the other guy he had in there was Dwayne Haskins. And so I think Justin Fields had a really good read on what was going on in Ohio State through his relationship with Dwayne Haskins and how that dynamic was going to work, as well as, you know, what's it like to play for Ryan Day as a quarterback. And so I think he kind of, you know, had some really good intel on that. Tate Martell is a guy who is a talented dual threat quarterback. He's not the tallest guy in the world, but he'd also bounced around in the recruiting process. And by all accounts, he really liked the recruiting process. And I think he was going to be a challenge for probably somebody, just because there are certain kids who come up in this kind of five-star recruiting environment who I think you see them commit and decommit and kind of, it doesn't mean they're bad people or anything like that. It seems like the focus gets kind of scattershot, and also in the social media, you know, realm of this part, as you said, I mean, I don't want to say it came back to bite Tate Martell, but people are holding up his tweets and his words from before and going, hey, this is, you know, this doesn't line up with where you want to be or what's a team going to get going forward. So it's a very curious dynamic that it kind of has come full circle, or at least done a 180 in less than like 3 weeks. I mean, it's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of emblematic of what I think is this little five-star subculture that you get attached to sometimes in recruiting. And it's probably even more of a head scratcher for coaches when it involves a quarterback who's got to be the face of the program. And I don't doubt that Tate Martell will have a lot of suitors going forward. I mean, he is talented, but I think there's going to be some other parts of this that may give people a lot of pause if you're bringing him on your program and expect him to be a leader and where that goes going forward.
From FS1 guys and also with The Athletic, it's Bruce Feldman with us here on Dukes and Bell. Follow him at Bruce Feldman CFB on Twitter as we're talking about what's essentially now college football free agency with the transfers. Hey, bring it back to Georgia. Chaney goes up to Tennessee. He had signed a contract extension that was kept quiet. James Coley is the odds-on favorite to be the OC. What do you make of what George is doing with the reshuffle?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I thought Chaney did a really nice job. His relationship with the O-line coach there, Sam Pittman, I think was integral in their success. And, if I'm a Tennessee fan, I'm happy with that hire. I know Chaney had been there before under Lane Kiffin and stayed on longer. He's a reliable, good, you know, offensive mind who's developed some good players. The part that I don't know what Georgia's going to do is you have two coordinator jobs open. There's a lot of talent around there. I'm interested to see what Kirby Smart does there, because on the offensive side of the ball, you have some places that have some big offensive coordinator vacancies around too. And so I think you're going to see some people have to roll the dice on guys who may not have never been play callers, but, you know, in the interview process, people feel confident about them. So, you know, it's not just Georgia who has an open OC job. Miami's one. There's a few others I heard that are looking that may not quote unquote be open. So it's going to be an interesting case of musical chairs, I think, over the next, you know, week or two.
Bruce, guys ask me the question all the time about Brent Venables at Clemson. Why isn't he trying to be a head coach? And I always say, well, he makes head coaching money.
Right.
And he's in a really good spot. Are you surprised that he has not left yet? And do you expect him to now that they won another national championship?
I don't miss – I mean, his son plays for him now there. And I think that he's been pretty upfront about – I think he has a good read on the situation of he likes working for Dabo Swinney. He likes the culture that they have there. Obviously, it's working at an extremely high level. As you said, he's making head coach money. It's going to take a lot. I think it's quite honestly going to take the perfect situation to get him to leave. I mean, he had the opportunity to go be the head coach at his alma mater, K-State, from what I understand, he didn't, you know, he could have had that. He didn't want it. He could have probably gotten to work for his one of his best friends, who's the AD at Texas Tech. He didn't want that either. I think he's going to be really, really choosy. I mean, perhaps if Lincoln Riley down the road decides to go be an NFL head coach, I could think Joe Castiglione, the AD, would have to give Brent Venables a lot of consideration about bringing him back to Oklahoma. But short of a huge job like that, I'm not sure he's going to just take some other job that a lot of people think would be a good first-time job. I think his perspective on it's different, and it's hard to knock. I mean, you know, I talked to him immediately after the game. He did not look like a guy who had thoughts on being someplace else. He's really comfortable in the moment, and I think that, you know, for certain guys, and it's rare, I think they put the premium on what their situation is over just the end game of being a college football head coach anywhere and just getting their foot in the door.
Bruce Feldman with his guys from Fox Sports 1 and The Athletic breaking down college football. It looks like Clemson's world, Bruce, and we're all living in it here. Florida State went and got Kendall Briles to be the OC, so they're turning it around. Manny Diaz in Miami. Virginia Tech still just not really doing much anything special. Who's going to step up in the ACC and challenge Clemson anytime soon?
Oof. You know, if it's not Florida State, I don't know who it could be, because I think the gap between Clemson and everybody else just keeps widening. And if you don't think that recruits, and not just kids who are in 2019 class, if younger recruits didn't look at what they saw, Alabama getting blown off the field by Clemson like that, and all those young players around, I mean, look, all the guys who scored touchdowns in the game, both offensively and defensively for Clemson, are freshmen or sophomores. They're all coming back. So that's a scary thought, I think, with the rest of the ACC. Miami's got right now a real transformation. I mean, Manny Diaz is back, but they got to get the offensive side of the ball fixed. They got to get some momentum back in recruiting. At Florida State, I think Willie Taggart has a really good staff of recruiters, but he took over a situation there with Jimbo Fisher. People forget that they barely made a bowl game last year. So it wasn't going to be a quick fix. I think it's going to take some time. And then you look at the rest of the league, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's not a lot to get too excited about. Virginia had a nice finish of the season, but, you know, you look at that, I mean, Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech has a, I don't know if I would call it a massive rebuild, but it's just a shift that's so significant going from the way Paul Johnson ran things to the way Jeff Collins is going to run it. So I think it's going to be Clemson's for a while, and I just don't know who is the next team that looks like it could make a run at being a top 10 team consistently. My guess is it's Florida State, but they're a long way away from that right now.
Bruce, great information as always, man. Check him out. Read his stuff. Guys, he does a terrific job of covering college football for various outlets, including The Athletic. Bruce Feldman, we appreciate your time today. Thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.